I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
We have somebody in Shota Imanaga who just hasn't had this injury history.
He's never had any lower body, you know, muscle strains.
So he hasn't had the injury rehab. He also could be a fast healer.
Yeah, we don't know.
Conceivably. So we just, these things are tricky.
If you listen to what Craig Counsell is saying,
that makes us optimistic and make sure that he's back to 100%. But all in all, pretty good news.
Saying, I think the Cubs were afraid that it was going to be worse.
Oh, I think
and the reaction to the being optimistic was a reflection of that.
A sigh of relief.
Yes.
He's going to miss three starts, minimum, right?
He could still be out a month. Cade Horton was drafted 3 years ago, so it seems like he has been a prospect for a while. I wonder how much patience does exist in that building for waiting for Cade Horton to arrive. I mean, he looks pretty good.
He does.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Cade Horton as a who?
Here's.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Weird night for the local baseball teams, Mr. David. Can't say that was too nice. A lot of booting of the ball, a lot of the Cubs tied it up, got to extra innings. How often do you lose by 9 runs in extra innings?
Never. Yeah. Good morning, Mully. Happy Wednesday. Never. No. That was the highest scoring extra inning in Wrigley Field history. Enough with this historic stuff going on at Clark and Addison. If you're going to make history, make the good kind. Yeah. They gave up 10 runs in one inning to the Diamondbacks last month. Last night, they give up nine. Ryan Pressly, you want more history for you?
Yeah.
Okay. You got me going.
Please.
I heard the highlight. Ryan Pressly is the only MLB reliever to allow 8-plus runs in a game, not get an out, and take the loss since earned runs became official in both leagues in 1913. Thank you, Optostats.
It makes you wonder if they need some help at the closer spot.
Okay. Well, let's prioritize then. Do we need help at the closer spot if you're the Cubs?
Yes.
Do you need somebody who catch a ground ball at third base and throw it to the right base accurately?
Yes.
Or do you need a starting pitcher because everybody's hurt?
All of the above.
What happened to yesterday's good buzz?
I don't know. There was good buzz in the pregame.
It was.
Yeah, Shota's all fine and well and just being precautionary.
He's texting Justin Steele, all the stuff.
Yes.
I was curious about this. And a quick aside.
Please.
When a Japanese player communicates with a teammate or a coach, he has a translator there.
Can't you do that?
Oh, texting.
Google Translator?
Well, maybe so. Okay.
Yeah, isn't that how you do it?
I suppose. I suppose.
Because you probably don't type in English if you're not able to speak it. Well, I've never texted
somebody who spoke Japanese.
Well, but I mean, you've texted many people who spoke foreign languages.
Never mind. But I think when he's talked about texting Justin Steele, that crossed my mind.
But
what's the best way to communicate? That's
a good question. So you're saying, hey, text Justin. Tell him. Does the translator
I don't know.
Have to work
That's
his
what
thumbs?
I mean. Yeah. Who's texting Justin Steele?
I just assumed that you could text.
Because texts are so immediate, right? They're so like, oh, I'm going to grab. I texted Dustin last night. Sorry, if I didn't. I was in my feelings about the Cubs
when they started coming back.
I texted Dustin positively. This team is like just something else. But dot dot dot.
And then
the bottom fell out.
Then you went. You did a this bullpen.
In Japanese.
But honestly, I mean, Dustin, you're a Google guy. Do you just hit Google Translate?
I would imagine there's probably a translate thing on your phones these days. Yeah. I'm not an iPhone guy. I'm guessing they have iPhones.
Huh.
I'm a Samsung guy.
I have an iPhone, but I never translate.
Nonetheless, I didn't mean to get us off track
no,
there.
No, but I'm curious about it now.
It was a very strange thing that entered my mind.
How close are you to your translator? Is the guy staying in your house if you decide to text someone? Or let's just say that you tell him, hey, send to Justin Steele this text, and then it accidentally puts it in, I don't know, they think that you are trying to communicate with AK, and there's Justin Steele at home, and he gets a Lithuanian message.
Yes.
Does he just translate it from Lithuanian?
I know. I don't know.
Do you translate it in Japanese and then have
These are the kinds of things that occupied my mind when that was the most important issue in my mind about the Cubs. And then the bottom fell out.
Yeah.
And they gave up 9 runs in the 11th inning.
That was unpleasant.
It was so bad. It was almost embarrassing. Both sides of town.
Oh,
last night, the baseball was just embarrassing.
Yeah, the White Sox should be humiliated. That was... I mean, I gotta tell you. You know what that was?
What?
Predictable. I really felt like they were going to lose the game. I did not feel for a second like they were going to be able to win.
You felt like that was going to happen?
I thought at one point... They got a run late, and I thought, hey, they got a run. But then, David, I just thought they're going to lose.
I didn't. I thought, and I full disclosure,
You're watching the Cubs game.
I'm flipping. You're trying to pay attention to both. It's hard to, especially when the Cubs were in a tight game. But I thought that... We had the conversation. I thought of our conversation when the Sox had the lead in the ninth. They don't have a closer. They don't have a need for a save.
They have one save on the year.
And I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. We can talk tomorrow about how we have a save to discuss.
Yes. I went the other way. They only have one save, and it was in a rain-shortened game. I'm not sure they can save a game.
I was thinking it was going to come through. And it was going to be, and especially when he got the pop up. When he got an infield pop up, you're like, you sigh relief.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's as good. You get an infield pop up, and it's as good as a strikeout sometimes because nobody can do anything. You're not going to advance the runners. And you get an infield pop up, and then Chase Meidroth lost it in the lights.
Another 36 year old on at first with a walk to start this ninth, bottom of the ninth. Popped up. Meidroth settling underneath. And it goes off of his glove. The throw to second is overthrown. Oh, boy, what is going on here in Kansas City?
Even after it bounces off the glove of Meidroth, you still got a shot at him because Canna can't go anywhere. He figures this is going to be caught for sure. Well, it's not.
Did that go off his head?
It looked like it, and then Michael A. Taylor throws it away at second. You got an easy force out. Two on, nobody out.
Stoney.
So they loaded the bases, and then...
Because it's not.
Yeah.
No.
Look, Steve?
No.
That's why. Because no.
That's what it made me think of.
Yeah.
Because no.
Yeah.
Chase Meidroth makes that play 98 out of 100 times. 99, maybe. He didn't last night.
Don't know him well enough. He's just getting going.
Don't you think you know him well enough? He's a major league infielder. Don't major league infielders make that play?
He's a young guy. I don't know him well enough. I don't want to even mention his name after that.
Chase Meidroff?
Well, I don't want to be mad at him in any way, and I don't want to mention that he missed like a routine.
Okay, we will.
And they gave away
the second baseman at the time.
That's it. There you go.
Really, the expectation was he was going to catch it. They were to hold on and escape, finally end that losing streak to the Royals.
Oh,
but
my God.
Didn't happen.
That was – but I, as I said, the whole closer thing, the whole save thing did go through my head.
Yeah.
Because they got a run back, which was great, so they're up 3-1. Then they gave a run back, and then you're like, no. This is like a little, you know – It's kind of squeeze the bum time, right? You
just squeeze the bum.
Yeah, as yeah, they
you
say.
You know, that's what I think whenever I see a game that time. This is squeeze the bum time.
I think they call it, in England, they call it squeaky bum time.
Yeah.
Where you just kind of...
That would be accurate.
Yeah.
Well, it was that way on both sides of town both fan
bases. But the
Cubs thing
was, the Cubs are having a great year. That was just bizarre. They came back to win as they always do. And then,
how it goes.
Whatever that was.
You know, if you have one bad thing happen, then you start to think, just like when one good thing happens, you look at, could that be the turning point? Could that be?
Well, it's not.
That's Stoney. Come on, Stoney. Where'd you come from?
It was both sides of town. And, like, I don't expect anything from the Sox, and I'm barely watching
them. Well, the Sox was embarrassingly bad.
That was embarrassingly
bad. The Cubs was historically bad.
But that was... It was seriously surreal. It was just like, they gave up a run. What? How many are they going to give up? Like it just like the wheels came off.
They gave up nine. There have only been
nine runs.
There have been only
nine.
Four extra inning wins that have been any more lopsided since 1919. Since 1919. Yeah. Back in when the. Yeah, it's just all these stats.
Can you name like the one that was the most lopsided?
Yes.
It's hard to
1983,
imagine.
The Texas Rangers had a 12-run differential.
They scored the 12 or
yes,
they gave up?
The Rangers did, according to Sarah Langs.
Who surrendered?
I have to find that out.
Because that's hard to believe. That is just hard to believe.
It just wouldn't stop. And, okay, this is we'll get to this at the pick six, but I just wondered at what point –
did it just get stupid?
Do you just take him out? Stop the bleeding. Dustin saying no, let him sit out
make
there.
Make him wear it.
Make him wear it. I don't know.
Didn't record an out.
You have got to live with Ryan Pressly the rest of the, month.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
You've got to live with him. So why would you let him out there to have that kind of stain on his season?
Because there's another game today. That's why.
So he's got to wear it.
Why use another reliever?
Right. I mean, you're not coming back from that. So at that point,
I can see the. That's a valid argument. That's a valid reason.
What's his ERA?
But his ERA now.
Yeah.
He's never going to recover from this.
I'm just saying.
The rest of the season, he's never going to recover from this statistically.
No.
Because you don't give up.
That might ruin his career.
Eight runs.
His career numbers may be impacted. How did his career ERA jump?
I'm laughing because the beast's crying. It was so bad.
There's a lot of runs for a closer to surrender.
His ERA is now 7.62.
Well, that's not as bad as I thought it would be.
It's bad enough.
Ryan Stressly is back.
Ryan Stressly has re-entered the chat.
No longer in the circle of trust.
No. He's violated that trust last night. Now you prioritize what is most pressing for the Cubs and Jed Hoyer. You just made the closer argument.
No, he said third base.
I know, but he just said Ryan Stressly has returned.
I think you have a guy that if you gave him some opportunities and really told him he was going to get that role, he's young enough. And
Porter Hodge.
Enough, I think. That's where I would
Porter
go.
Hodge.
You have a potential solution. Now the problem is how do you get to Porter Hodge? That seems to be a problem since Julian Merriweather also not in the circle of trust.
He's fallen
right now.
He's fallen out since that wild pitch. That really bugged you, didn't it?
I mean, the first you come into a game and the first thing you do.
Okay, and then you want to blame, wasn't a good look.
Oh, maybe pitch com and him and Amaya were on the same page. No, you just stink. Okay, that was awful.
Boy, the Cubs.
Oh, there's a guy on base. I don't know what to do.
The range of emotions on a day.
Mr. Bill.
At Wrigley Field. Nay! Should we go to Ryan Pressler right now? Nay! Can you trust your bullpen? Nay! Do you like your third baseman?
Wow. Wow.
You know, it's unfortunate because there's so many good, positive things. And if they win today, it's all going to feel like, hey, they won another series. Let's talk about that. And that will make sense. And this is what you do. This is part of the reaction part of sports. You just react. It doesn't. This is kind of like this post-game show still. It still feels fresh.
Yeah. No, it does.
Both losses.
You went to bed with that, and you're kind of grumpy as you're laying there watching it, and then you had to wake up, and you got to deal with it. I mean, yes. And how they respond to it, I think this is a Craig Counsell day. Okay,
today,
like how, because you Wrigley was rocking. I mean, Justin Turner did what he was came, you know, what they signed him to do.
Yeah, how about
which
that?
Was to get a pinch hit.
I thought of a lot of people yesterday.
He completely delivered.
Some of us didn't think much of him.
Maybe DFA him. Maybe. Yeah.
You're looking for spots.
Not going to happen.
No,
he's had two big hits since Saturday.
Yeah, and you think that if you get to a playoff scenario, he might be able to come in and give you a big
yes.
Hit.
Because he's been there and done that.
Exactly.
If you now get to the playoffs, but if you don't have a bullpen, you might not be going anywhere.
Can he get the ball out of his glove?
Who?
At third
Justin
base?
Turner?
Have we seen Justin Turner at third base?
Have we
seen him at third base?
Once, I think, this year.
Once. Well, maybe
perhaps.
We need to see him twice. Maybe today. Maybe today. Maybe John Birdie can watch.
Bye-bye, Birdie.
Yeah.
Such a good line. I was waiting, hoping not to have to steal it.
No good. It's not good.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm frustrated. Nicky Lopez did a nice game the night before, and then he's on the bench.
He did a nice game.
Because there was no way he could touch Justin Verlander, so God forbid. You know, Birdie might have had one hit in his career off him or something, so the stats told them to sit Nicky Lopez.
Verlander, sadly, was very irrelevant by the end of that game.
By the end of the game, a lot of things that happened to
earlier,
that point. Because it also wiped out the good vibes. That the Cubs came back and tied the game. They're down 5-3. And they had some really clutch moments.
If they had come back and done it again in the bottom of the 10th,
that
would have been good vibes.
Okay, so I have to ask this before we get to the pick six. The bunt that people will be talking about.
Yes.
I did not, in real time, at first guessing, I thought that you got PCA at the plate. He's not a great bunter.
Yes.
He's been making contact. You trust his bat. I was okay with him not bunting there. I know that got a lot of post-game reaction. I know that it has been talked about and he was asked about it, but I specifically did not have a huge issue with PCA not bunting at that point.
Yeah, I can understand not having a big issue with it. I didn't waste a lot of mental anguish on it, just given the results. But I do think that should be part of his arsenal. I just think a guy like him, who is as fast as he is. Like, if ever there's a guy who could beat out a bunt,
I agree.
It would be him.
It's a tool that it's lacking right now.
It just made me, when I thought about it, I just thought, wow, what? Like, shouldn't that guy be able to bunt? Like, didn't anybody bother teaching him? Because that's not the most difficult thing to ever learn. I just think he should be able to do it. That's all.
Dustin, what was your first reaction?
I wanted him to be able to get the bunt down in that situation.
You were thinking that all the way?
Absolutely.
I bet you the Giants were thinking that all the way, too.
I think, yeah.
They executed a nice bunt.
They did. That.
Yeah, they. That's Bob Melvin. That's quality baseball there.
It's a thought for sure. You know, they're you know, kind of all over the bunt in that sense situation. You know, you feel like maybe the ball in play has got a better chance. And that's a good arm. He made some good pitches. So, you know, we had other opportunities to put a ball in play and couldn't do it. But, you know, he made some pitches and got a strikeout.
Well, he's right.
Yeah.
He's right. That was unfortunate, but it was the bottom of the 10th. That was what we're talking about.
It just seems like, you know, when you got a guy that can do everything, he should be able to do that too. That's all. I don't mean it.
There was a lot to lament that was not at the top of my list necessarily. There was so much else that occupied your thoughts, and it all had to do with Ryan Pressly.
Well, that
I don't know where you go from here. Here's the only thing I'd say about Ryan Pressly that's positive. He faced the music. Just like Chase Meidroth faced the reporters after he let the fly ball bounce off his cap. Yep. Ryan Pressly, after giving up 9 runs, 8 of them earned, they did talk about it. They didn't disappear and sulk quietly or privately. I give them credit for being accountable for what happened and ruining baseball fans' days in Chicago. That's a bit dramatic.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not all on them.
That's nice of you to give them credit, but I mean, again, that's like a bare minimum to me.
I mean,
if you kind of are responsible for something, I don't give you like a gold star because you acknowledged it. I think that's part of the job. And I think, you know, what would be a real, real awful way to behave would be to just let other people answer for you. Let my teammates defend me because I'm not going to go out there and just take the heat. Hey, you know, it is what it is. We all saw what happened. Here I am. And that's it. I don't know. I just think that's a really low bar. They both
faced the
heat.
Well, I didn't absolve either one of them. I just said that was part of the conversation that we shouldn't ignore.
No, but you said that
was
a good thing.
It was a good thing.
Yeah.
We don't always see it.
I guess you're right. We I feel like you have to see it. I feel like you'd be a real turd of a human if you let other people kind of, you know, try to make amends for you.
A turd of a human.
Well, if I may use a term.
Okay.
Bottoms, turd. I mean,
all right.
Geez.
I get it. So today, boy, there's a lot riding on today. Ben Brown on the mound, right? Young man has a lot.
Yeah.
He needs to have another big outing.
Can I say one other thing?
Sure.
While I was watching Verlander do well and Colin Ray struggle a little bit, I was thinking, like when the Cubs came back, I was thinking, that's great because they totally got him off the hook. And now it wasn't because they had the worst starting pitcher. They you know what I mean? Like it wasn't because they were outpitched.
So you were relieved
this
because the conversation wasn't going to be about Colin Ray and can he step up.
That's what I'm saying.
But I don't think that should be ignored either.
No, I don't think. I think we could still have that conversation.
See, I think that's a thing because I don't necessarily like.
But I did think the fact that they came back took him off of, you know, the.
Perhaps.
The kind of.
Perhaps. But as you are cautioning me not to overstate how important it is for guys to be publicly accountable, I would caution you not to overlook the fact that Colin Ray wasn't good enough.
And I totally agree with that. I'm just saying they took him out of the firing line by coming back. I felt his teammates gave him a lift. And I thought that was a good thing to come out of the game.
Yes.
And maybe I'm overstating it, and that's
conceivable. Well, they need Colin Ray to be as good as he was last week against Paul Skeens, and they need him to be a middle-of-the-rotation starter the way that things fall right now. And, yeah, I was a little perplexed by seeing him struggle. Everything's relative. He's been very good, and I called him his most valuable pitcher going into this start. But last night, he was less than good. He wasn't as good.
Okay, we've got to get to the pick six, but I know you're wearing a very comfortable shirt.
Yes.
Today, I also am wearing a very comfortable shirt.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, this shirt is so comfortable that as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I think I might have to go through the whole washer cycle with it on.
I thought you were going to say you're going to take a nap during the next segment.
No. This shirt is so comfortable. I just feel like I might want to wash with it. Maybe I'll just go into the shower with it instead of going into the washing machine. Well, this is as comfortable a shirt as I may have ever put on. I don't know why I need to tell you that right now, but it just occurred to me, like, mother of God.
It's very comfortable. You look very comfortable today.
Holy cow.
Very sporty as well. And yes, it is a flag and anthem.
We
both are sporting flag and anthem.
It's got like a little, I feel like I could sing a recent Post Malone song in this shirt.
Yeah, please don't.
What do you think?
I would hope that you wouldn't, but if you want to at the break, you're more than welcome.
Yeah.
At the break.
I had some help.
You had some help?
That's a Post Malone thing. It's about the destruction.
All right, we got some some news.
Uh-oh.
Little news here.
Yeah, I'm trying. Dustin's telling us something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we have that George Pickens has been traded by the Steelers to the Cowboys in a deal that will be official soon.
Holy
so the Steelers
guacamole.
Getting rid of a wide receiver after getting DK Metcalf. And breaking news on the scores brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories.
Wow.
So Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, Steelers trading George Pickens to the Cowboys. How about them Cowboys in a deal that would be official soon?
How? What are they getting? And is Aaron Rodgers now definitely going to feel comfortable in Pittsburgh?
Well, you wonder.
If they trade all the receivers.
You wonder about that effect. Is this a shot called by Aaron Rodgers? No, probably not.
No, I don't think so.
But there might be a condition upon him coming. George Pickens could be a guy that maybe he has an issue with. I don't know. George Pickens and DK Metcalf, I always wondered how that was going to go in that meeting room or in that wide
receiver
room.
George Pickens was like an issue with Rodgers waiting to happen. You know what I
mean?
Like,
yes.
I'm now.
That's what I mean.
I now hope Rodgers signs with Dallas. Just so we could pick up on that storyline.
Pickens. Pickens and C.D. Lamb with Dak Prescott. This is going to be the most overcovered team. Oh, wait. They already are.
Oh, they already are. Yeah. This is going to be so ultimately disappointing, Jerry. All right. We got a lot to get to. Pick six next. Molly and Hall on the score.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching. Phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
It's Pick Six with Molly and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Molly Haw. Pick Six with Molly and Haw starts now.
What did you think of Craig Counsell's explanation of Ryan Pressly's awful performance?
He couldn't finish hitters, essentially. I mean, that was it. You know, and it snowballed a little bit, and
you know, we're essentially, you know, we got to a point where we're just trying to get through the inning, and we just didn't play. The last 10 or so outings have been, I think he's given up one run in the last 10 outings. So it's been pretty good. The swing and miss we're struggling with, and that's the finishing the hitter. But he's been making pitches for sure. Just not tonight.
What could counsel have said, done differently?
Yeah, you know, I think you're right, Dustin. I think you put it on him because you didn't want to have to start using up your bullpen after you've used up your bullpen. Now, I don't know what he could have done differently. I think the guy has – we've all quieted down quite a bit, and he has done okay. I don't know that we saw that one coming. I think that whenever you're uncertain about somebody – and they do poorly. Oh, yeah, I saw that coming. Oh, I knew that was coming. But he seemed like he had stabilized. Is that unfair to term it that way? I don't know that he was coming out and just lights out or anything, but he seemed like he had stabilized and you were getting a good enough performance from him. And then obviously he just went totally off the boil and you just stayed with him because you didn't want to eat up your bullpen. You got a game today, for God's sake. So I guess I understand why you left him out there, but I don't know when a guy is that bad. I don't know what you say about it. I don't know how you sugarcoat it. I don't know what you're supposed to do to pretend like it wasn't awful.
I felt like he did actually sugarcoat it a little bit in the second answer. Well, the last 9 or 10 outings. You know, he tried. He didn't. He felt like he needed to. He didn't want to. But then he went back to he doesn't have the swing and miss stuff. Can't finish the batter. How about no coffee today? Right? Coffee's for closers. You're not a closer anymore, so no coffee for you.
Glenn Ross.
He gave up 9 runs and 5 hits, and he only threw 26 pitches.
That's not good, right?
26 pitches. It felt like it was an eternity. It felt like he was out there for 5 innings.
It did.
And every time a new batter walked to the plate, I thought to myself, why is he still in there? Put us all out of our misery. I understand conserving the bullpen and making him wear it, which is not – is that – that much value
was,
in that.
I think it's more about preserving the bullpen.
Okay,
I also don't think he thought time, he was going to give up 9 runs.
You went, well, I know, I but know, that's I, kind I, of the point.
Once you get the three.
Once you get to three, once you get to four, how long are we going to let him go in here?
You're right.
9?
Yep.
You know why that's never happened before at Wrigley Field? Because after 6, the manager was like, hey, I got to get my guy out of there. Theo Barr was ready. This is not a Craig Counsell gripe. I didn't have a problem with Craig Counsell not bunting with PCA at the plate. I don't want to turn in. I'm not down on Craig Counsell really at all. I think that he's one of the reasons they are off to the kind of start they're off to. But I did wonder how long is too long, and I think we all saw the answer.
It's a great question.
Voice of Zach Zabin will be with you guys at 9. John Birdie made another error at third base last night. Then all seems to find the Cubs' weakest defender. What's the right approach at the position for Craig Counsell, or is it just that going to be something we're going to have to accept?
At the risk of repeating myself, my first reaction to this error, which was, I'm going to throw home. No, I'm not going to throw home. I'm going to do the misdirection and no-look pass to first base, and then I'm going to throw it in the dirt and make an error. And then after that, I was thinking, bye-bye, Birdie. I don't know that that's working either. It's like as soon as you get to the point with the Cubs, they have to count on a third baseman, Gage Workman. Yeah. He makes an error.
What did they do after that error?
He's gone. But John Birdie now has made a couple defensive plays that are uncharacteristic of him, or maybe they aren't, but his reputation said that he was going to be better defensively. Nicky Lopez has been solid defensively. Great pregame interview with Zach. Nicky Lopez, happy to be a Cub. His family is full of Cub fans. I'd ride the hot hand, and he was pretty hot. the night before, the day he was making, he made a good play and he had a nice walk. Then we go to birdie, and this is what you get. It's there's frustration in your voice because that was a game that left you frustrated, full of it. And I just don't know what direction they go now, because we could have another question, which is the bigger priority now. Starting pitching after Colin Ray coming back to earth, the bullpen after Ryan Pressly becoming Ryan Stressly again, or third base after John Birdie made another bad throw.
Well, here's what I would expect everybody but John Birdie and his parents would agree on. John Birdie shouldn't be in the lineup today. I don't care if he's got a 500 batting average against today's pitcher. He's not at third base. The pitcher, Ben Brown, if he's over there, it would shake my confidence. I mentioned it in the first segment of the show. I would, what the heck, throw Justin Turner out there. He's been out there one, okay, and if it doesn't work out, then get Nicky Lopez immediately out there. Or just go right back to Nicky Lopez if that's what you think. But here's what you don't do for sure. John Birdie doesn't play third base today, period.
Yeah, John Birdie's not the answer. I don't know what the question is, but he's not the answer. That is not the guy that's going to solidify the third base position and you don't have to worry about upgrading. That's not the guy. So I think that if it were me, I would leave Nicky Lopez there. And you know, the problem is we all know who Nicky Lopez is. And he's a great fielding, no-hitting second baseman, light-hitting second baseman. But he can play third base, and he can position the field. But I don't think you're going to get a lot out of him with his bat. But you know what?
What?
He got on base a couple times.
I know.
So why did you not stay with him for a couple of games? Why not just see if he can continue to get on base a little bit? You know, maybe there's some goodwill and good karma. Who knows? But I think after that error, no, you just can't bring him back today. I agree with that. And I would think about buying more time until Shaw can come back, or you go make a move. But I don't think they're going to make a move after making a move last year and then having to trade that guy.
4 years ago, Nicky Lopez hit 300 in 151 games for the Kansas City Royals. His on-base percentage was .365. He's a professional hitter.
He might be able to get on base a couple times here and there.
You know what Dustin
but
wants his Cubs to do.
He's a fielder. That's what he is.
Dustin wants the Cubs to go get Moncada.
Oh, God.
But I wanted them to do that in the offseason, right? Before he ended up with the Angels.
That's not going to happen.
Why?
This series.
Because the movie shows up in town, I pull a muscle.
And some insurance. A three-run homer. His first as an Angel. Hakuna Moncada. With the best play in baseball. The three-run blast.
Pick six.
Dustin wants an Angel in the infield.
Want one on my shoulder. Did you get a kick hearing Nico Hoerner talk to the afternoon show about all the attention Pete Crow Armstrong is getting? Hoerner talked about the combination of people pumped to see him succeed, but also, quote, give him a healthy amount of grief when he does some things that are unique.
You got to be a little delusional, I think, to do special things as an athlete and, like, expect yourself to do the incredible. And I would way rather play with someone who's on that end of it than, like, who's cautious and nervous to make a mistake.
So, did you enjoy what you heard from Nico Hoerner about PCA with our afternoon show of Spiegel and Holmes yesterday right here on The Score?
It was pretty funny. He was talking about Nico diving for that ball and not getting there, and they took apparently a bunch of photos. And by the time they were back in the clubhouse, they had all, you know, they were just giving him a hard time about trying to make a play he couldn't make. But he's right. You know, the reason that Nico is having a laugh out of it is because the guy is doing so well. And the reason he's doing so well is because he's loaded with confidence and he believes he can do anything. And he's willing to take chances and he's willing to make a fool of himself because he thinks he can make every play. And that's a good thing. I think it's a great thing. And I think what I liked about it is the idea that everybody's kind of having some fun, that there's like this feel good within the group with a young guy that is coming into his own a little bit. And he also said in that interview that what you don't see is how hard he works, how PCA is like the first guy out there taking extra work, doing everything. There's a reason that he's been advancing in the fashion he has. I thought that was a good thing. But yeah, it's when you got a guy that is a great energy guy, you know, maybe you got to curtail him a little bit, but enjoy it and enjoy watching it.
We're really fortunate to have a lot of great coaches and players joining the station on a weekly basis.
Yes.
But I will say Nico Horner might be on my personal Mount Rushmore. I feel that's almost an appointment radio on 2:30s on Tuesday. He really does take you into the clubhouse. And as you were pointing out there, Molly, like down on the field, the pregame, what got you. You really get an idea of what it's like to live the baseball life, I believe, with Nico Horner. And Spiegel and Holmes do a great job with the questions that they ask him. But it was thought-provoking. It was very inside. You learned something.
Yep.
Thought it was great.
Yeah, he'll be great in the studio or a booth one day if he wants to do that after he's done playing, which is a very long time away. Pete Crow Armstrong is authentic, and part of his natural personality is he's at the center of a lot because he is a little brash and he is very confident, but he has fun, and I think he has an ability to kind of understand when it's time to laugh at yourself, and he doesn't take himself too seriously at those times, and that is a way to ingratiate yourself to older teammates who probably had to get used to him a little bit because he was a guy that was he's tracking down every fly ball, running into outfielders, running into infielders. He's going to have to know, or they're going to have to learn, that it's either his territory or not, and that's going to be that's just a byproduct of being as confident as he is. He thinks he can get to everything. But hey, last night was another one of those games. He can get to everything. He's jumping against the basket. He's sliding in right field. He is everywhere. And Craig Counsell still, at one point in time, I think, expressed the opinion that he might be the most complete defender at any position in baseball.
That's incredible.
So, yeah, they give him a hard time. Nico Horner lets us have a glimpse of that. And despite last night's profound disappointment, this is still a very fun Cub team and season.
Well, okay, next question.
How can the White Sox manager Will Venable respond to last night's meltdown after Chase Mydroth let a routine pop up, bounce off his head? Ozzie Guillen said this post-game.
This is ugly. Yeah. You know what? I just told BJ over there and the guys, I go, you know what? He said, I was the manager of White Sox. I said, hey, everybody stay on the field. Leave the lights on. We practice to 2 o'clock in the morning. Everybody go back to the field. Let's go. There's nothing you can do about it. You're just like, oh, my God, what is this?
What will Venable's response be?
I don't think he'll have any response in terms of a lineup change. I don't think you bench a guy after that. I'd be curious to see what Ozzie says about that question. Has he ever benched a guy because of a physical error like that?
Mydroth's too good a player. You don't have any good players.
But you can't let that dictate whether or not you would bench him or not. If he didn't run out of ground ball, you bench him. If he was lazy or something, maybe a mental mistake, you bench him. I don't think you bench him because he lost the ball in the lights and let the pop-up hit him in the head. I think that's just one of those things that makes every blooper real. And it's something you have to try to get past. And the best way to do that, I think, for Will Venable is to respond with unconditional support, full enthusiasm, and just you keep Mydroth at the top of the order and in your lineup. I don't know that you can do anything punitive. It's not something that would – it's just was a bad break, and it's something you try to forget, but you're never going to be able to. And it's just one of those things that's going to stay with the young man until he gets better and there's another highlight or enough highlights. But I'd be curious to see what Ozzie says about has he ever done what he said he would do? Has he ever kept the team after a game to go do infield because they were so bad defensively? But yes, the Sox yet again snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory. And it reminded you, that was reminiscent. That was the first time, not the first time maybe, but the most egregious example of a reminder of what happened last year. That looked like last year, something that would happen in 2024.
It's so, so White Sox of recent vintage. 8 o'clock will be appointment radio once again. Ozzy on with you guys. And you do have you do have Lenin Sosa, right? Like, couldn't he play there today? You know I would have him take a seat.
You'd bench him?
You'd bench him. I don't know if benching, he'd get a day off.
That's benching him.
Okay, well, you could say it's a day off. They've four games in Kansas City.
I got to be honest with you. I think that they've got a manager who's a very even-keeled guy. And I think that there's no way that any baseball player is going out and letting a ball hit him on the head. I mean, that is just not what you would do. You would jump out of the way if you couldn't see it. I mean, the fact that the guy tried to make the play and lost the ball, it is not, when you start talking about corrective punishment, something punitive, that there is no value in trying to punish someone for a mistake of losing the ball in the lights. It's not something, like, you don't go out like, wait, you guys won't believe it's my head. It is very strong, and it doesn't bother me to get clobbered by one. Watch this. Like, he's not messing around. He was trying to make a play. He lost the ball. I do not believe you need to punish anyone for doing that. I don't get that, Dustin. And I think that this guy is very even-keeled, very even-tempered, and I think he will take it as what it is meant. They have one save on the year. They don't have someone who can come in and close out a game. They don't have someone on their staff. I mean, where's the hillbilly elegy? Where's that guy? Is he down in AAA still? I don't even know what happened to him. But the toothless guy they had there for a while trying to be a closer, the fidgety fella. I don't know whatever went on with him, but I got no interest in seeing that guy. They don't have a closer. They didn't close out a game. They didn't do it by throwing the ball correctly. They didn't do it by fielding it correctly. They can't do that part of the game. You're not going to win a lot of games when you can't do that. And I think picking on blaming a rookie who's one of the few guys worth watching on your team does not help you in any way. I think I want to see Chase Madroff play if I go out and watch the White Sox. I don't think I want to see name a guy who you would put in his stead.
Lenin Sosa.
Okay. I like Lenin Sosa. I'm not going to pick on him. I'm just saying, I don't understand how giving him a day off would make him better next time out.
Another really good question.
Well, that leads us into the next question, because this guy got a day off on Tuesday. Luis Robert Jr. didn't start Tuesday, apparently, according to Will Venable, the even-keeled manager of your White Sox, because the White Sox play 26 games over the next 27 days. How do you feel about that decision?
I mean, I thought it was idiotic, to be honest with you. I don't get it at all. The guy finally seems to start playing a little bit, and now you're going to sit him down because you're worried about what happens in 27 days. I thought they were going to trade him before then. Aren't they going to trade the guy? I keep reading that he's going to be traded any 5 minutes.
What day is it?
Why not let the guy...
What time is it?
...build on playing well instead of giving him a day off? I don't know. Didn't like it. Don't like it. Makes me wonder what's really going on.
Totally agree with everything Mully just said there. I mean, it doesn't make any sense in the world. And the same reason why you could get away with sitting Madroff today, you could use the 26 games and 27 days excuse, but this is idiotic. I mean, he's the only guy that, you know, has a little bit of slug in his bat, and he's sitting, and you end up losing a game by a run where you could have. I mean, it just doesn't give him the day game off. I mean, come on. I can't buy that.
So I was in the Chicago Sports Network newsroom when I saw the lineup yesterday afternoon. I immediately thought he must be injured.
Exactly.
And so I asked Chuck Garfine, who would be in a position to know, and Chuck said, well, I'll try to find out, because he assumed similar
things.
Because you see Luis Robert Jr. on a hot streak. What was the stat? 8 stolen bases, 3 home runs, and all these things in a condensed period of time. And he was coming into Kansas City hot. And so you thought either he's injured or he's getting traded. And either one, but – when you find out, and because then Brooke Fletcher asked Will Venable, and Will Venable answered and all the things, and he said, well, that was this tough stretch ahead. I don't think that's an acceptable reason.
Totally agree.
If you're going to be a guy that is going to lead that team, if you are the best player on that team, I don't know why you do need a day off. It's May 7th. It's not like you are in the middle of the dog days of summer. You're just getting started, and you're staying hot. Wouldn't you want to be in the lineup if you're Luis Robert Jr.? So I did not like this decision. I did not really accept the explanation, and I think it was a mistake.
Yeah, these are questions we really don't know the answers to right now.
That's the voice of Hall of Famer Dan Pompey. He's with you guys at 7:25. What did you make of the Four-Letter Network's draft analyst Eric Moody naming Bears' fourth-round pick Ruben Hippolyte II one of the worst picks in the entire draft? Are you looking forward to his response on Friday at rookie minicamp? The Maryland product, who wasn't initially invited to the combine, might have gone undrafted, according to Moody, because the Bears, jumped at his 4.39 40 time at his pro day over his undersized frame.
Well, he fits the speed component. I think this was maybe a little harsh, but I don't know. I did think he was overdrafted. I have to be honest about my assessment. It's not Eric Moody's, and I guess somebody has to be last or somebody has to be worst. I look at Ruben Hippolyte, and I see a 5'11", 236-pound undersized linebacker. He better be fast. He better be extremely fast and better be able to help you on special teams. But if you draft him in the fourth round, I also think he's got to be a guy that you eventually envision counting on linebacker, playing defense in Dennis Allen's defense. And I just don't know that that's as conceivable as you might think. Look, we've seen the highlights. This guy can fly. And when he gets there, he will hit you. I do think when you watch some of the hits, you wonder if it's all speed related. And I wonder how he can shed blockers. I worry about 320-pound guards engulfing him. I worry about the way that he might, you know, be run over by a running back who might be have a low center of gravity. Guy like, I'd love to see Kyle Manungai against Maryland this year to see if he ran through Hippolyte. There are some concerns because you never see you see all the highlights, but you don't see the ones where he's missing tackles or staying on blocks too long. So this might be overly harsh, but I do think that the Bears maybe reached here in the fourth round.
Who's Eric Moody? Eric Moody ever wear a jockstrap? Eric Moody ever been to an NFL game? Eric Moody ever had season tickets to the Bears? Who's Eric Moody to tell us that this is the worst draft pick? Okay, that was my inner, you know, that's a famous clip right there.
Thanks, Bill.
Ruben Hippolyte, I think, is Jack Sanborn 2.0. That's what he is, a tackling machine. He made a gazillion tackles at Maryland.
Started 46 games.
He's got a lot of experience. I think he's a guy that you'll see on special teams quite a bit. And maybe that takes another linebacker that they don't want to put out there on special teams in that, you know, out there. And special teams, we've talked about it on this show plenty. Mully, you've talked about it a ton. Special teams sometimes gets overlooked. And if this guy can get downfield and make a tackle constantly and be a backup to the linebacking core, so what? Again, who's the Four-Letter Network's Eric Moody? You ever wear a jockstrap?
Yeah, I don't know that the guy's the worst pick in the draft or anything like that, but I really do wonder why they chose him in the fourth round. I get the speed thing, Dustin, which right there, the speed thing makes him a much different player than the aforementioned linebacker. He is... This guy has, and he's the fastest linebacker in the draft. But how tall is he? 5'11"?
Yeah, 236.
I don't know that's going to play. And I think that, you know, I'm always worried when somebody has speed over other elements to his game that you draft him. Wait, you see how fast he runs. Well, you know, how many plays does he make? And I think that... it makes me wonder how good a player he is if you're the only one that sees it. So it's I don't know a lot about the kid. I'm looking forward to seeing him. I doubt he'll say much about it when asked. I don't think that was a serious comment about you looking forward to what he has to say about it. No, I'm not. But I think that guys with speed show up, and you see them in minicamp situations, etc. I think his speed will show. But if he really looks undersized, I don't know, man.
He's got a tremendous chip on his shoulder now, and he's got a motivation if he needs it. I don't think guys who are this accomplished may need it, but if he's looking for any, it's easy to find. If I were ranked the worst draft pick of the 2025 NFL draft, I would use that every day. I would put that in my locker, and I'd wake up to seeing that and being motivated and driven to prove that guy wrong.
You can get a really good player in the fourth round. There are plenty of examples of fourth-round players who are good players. So you better not have thrown away a draft pick, whoever is determining that you did.
Well, they didn't do that in the third round, so.
Want to see him do something. I think, mercifully, they've never really been successful in the third round.
Well, that's why they didn't do it this year.
Yeah, that's
they
good.
Didn't have a third rounder.
That's right. And they got, who'd they get in the fifth round? That was the corner, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Zay.
Yeah, that they were kind of targeting. All right, we've got the extra point next. We'll get right to it. Mully and Haw on the score.
Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way?
Set up the second.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply. For three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Any idea of whether or not Tyson Bagent will remain with the Bears long term? He's a restricted free agent after this season, so he's likely to be around for a couple more years. But could he be trained and enticing to another team once Ben Johnson gets his hands on him?
I think the answer to this question about how long Tyson Bagent will be a Bear and how he fits as the backup quarterback, or some people saying he's number three. I think he's number two. I think that he is the backup in case Keenum is here for insurance.
He's better than that.
I think he's definitely better than number two.
Here's what we know about Tyson Bagent, that he has a respectable record as a starter. He's, I think, quality insurance behind Caleb Williams. And if he were to play because of an injury, I do think that he would do a serviceable job. Solid. I don't think spectacular. He could run an offense. But it doesn't matter what I think, and it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what Mully thinks. It matters what Ben Johnson thinks. And frankly, I don't think we know yet. So the answer to this question remains a little bit murky, because until Ben Johnson weighs in on his backup quarterback, it really doesn't matter. Here's what does. He's entering the third year. He's already been here. This is his third season in Chicago. He's going to make $1 million. He is living his best life.
Is he making $1 million this year?
This year he'll make $1 million.
What a life.
According to SpotRec, he will make $1 million. Next year he becomes a restricted free agent. So if he has a game or two and he provides a glimpse of what he's capable of doing, he's going to get paid even more, which is kind of remarkable when you consider where he came from. I think the Bears have a quality backup quarterback. I hope they realize that. And wait for it. They could lead to an extension. Tyson Bagent could sign a contract extension before training camp to lock him up so you don't risk losing him to restricted free agency at the end of this season.
With all due respect to Tyson Bagent and the Bagency, I hope we don't see Tyson Bagent take one snap in a regular season game except for maybe a kneel down in the victory formation. Okay, now, if he gets some Ben Brown stink on him, sure, I guess I can understand where another team might want him after having the Pope of offense in the NFL lay his hands on a backup quarterback. So, sure. Take the Ben Johnson stink on Tyson Bagent and maybe get a pick for him or something.
Yeah, I believe he turns 25 in June. So very young dude, entering his third year in the league, making $1 million already. That goes a long way in West Virginia, don't you think?
Yeah.
I'm being honest. Yeah. I think that's for a young
good
lad.
For him.
That's good to see. I think that you are totally on it, and that is all that matters. If Ben Johnson recognizes something in him, likes something in him, feels that he can play, then he's got a career with the Bears for as long as he wants. If he looks at him and says, he's okay, but we can do better, then they're going to try to do better. But I think the key here is that when you get an offensive guru into your building, and he's going to be here for a while, this is now an opportunity for you to start turning into what the Green Bay Packers used to be, where you always draft one, you always have one in the building, you're always developing one, and then maybe you get draft picks for that guy as you go along. You can build a sort of cottage industry of quarterback development when you have a guy that runs his own offense and is sort of his own man, a la Ben Johnson. So I would make sure that I took advantage of that, whether it was in the kind of regeneration of guys that may have started out looking good and then started falling apart, or getting young guys and heading them on the right path. So that's a possibility in a best case scenario moving forward for the Bears. They would have a quarterback whisperer who is getting the best out of Caleb Williams and also helping to develop guys behind him, so that you're not just stuck with one or two players, but you are peopling the league with those quarterbacks.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be great. Love to see that unfold. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Yeah, how about those Cowboys? Cowboys have made a trade with the Pittsburgh Steelers and acquired George Pickens, the wide receiver. Pretty interesting. For a third-round pick,
yeah.
I believe, is
big
what we
breaking
heard.
News in the NFL. So, according to several sources, Ian Rappaport was first. Schefter has weighed in. Josina Anderson as well. The Cowboys will trade
a 2026 third round pick and they'll swap 2027 picks in the fifth and the sixth round with the Steelers for George Pickens, the controversial big play wide receiver, the guy with the big catch radius. You put it in the vicinity and George Pickens will go up and get it. He will team with CeeDee Lamb and give the Cowboys one of the best receiving tandems in the NFL, big play receivers. Both these teams are on the Bears' schedule next year, which is interesting.
Both of them are at home.
Both of them are Chicago.
We will find out a week from today whether they play perhaps back-to-back.
That would be cool. Or whether they, where they're going to play and when. We know it's going to be in Soldier Field. We wonder at what point in the season they'll play. Yep. Doesn't matter who you play. It matters when you play them. So the Cowboys beef up their receiving corps. Jerry Jones has hinted at a big trade coming. He did that before the draft. This must have been what he was speaking about. I think the Cowboys obviously get better. Is it a high price for a player of his caliber? I think a third rounder is it's good compensation. I think it's fair.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But Pickens entering the final year of his contract. He wants a new deal, so we'll see what happens there.
This is crazy, but the former Pittsburgh running back, Najee Harris, ended up signing a contract with the Chargers, who have now drafted the running back from North Carolina. There are rumors that Dallas could be looking to get Najee Harris. Like, it's a weird story out there that the Chargers may now trade the guy they signed in the offseason because they're going with the running back.
That's unorthodox.
It's very unorthodox. But that I thought that when I heard there was going to be a trade, or that Jerry had hinted at a trade, that was the trade I thought might have been coming.
That's worth keeping an eye on as well from a Bears perspective, because J.K. Dobbins would be a guy that is either expendable if they have too many running backs, because they still have Blake Corum, I think, on their depth chart. And if they end up trading Najee Harris, obviously J.K. Dobbins would mean more to the Chargers than he does currently. So keep an eye on that situation. I wonder also how this might affect, if at all, but you have to ask the question if you're paying attention to the Steelers offseason. They acquired DK Metcalf. He's the big play focus of their offense now, the big play guy. They get rid of George Pickens. How does Aaron Rodgers factor into any of this? And was this something that will affect his decision to return or not?
Well, you know, there had been a rumor that Rodgers was looking at golf clubs down in Pittsburgh. There has been a lot of rumors about
like country clubs, not like a new driver.
No,
hey, that Big Bertha, that's on sale in Allegheny County. I get a good deal of Dick's Sporting Goods there.
He joins a club.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't.
Saw him shopping at Dick's Sporting Goods or something.
But you know, the Steelers, as we all know, went 10-7 last year, and have been a team that never loses. They don't have losing seasons. Certainly not with their head coach there. And you wonder, they are out of quarterbacks, really. Mason Rudolph, I guess, would be the starter penned in right now. They're going to need a quarterback. They didn't get one. So doesn't that tell you that Rodgers, it's kind of the only place for him? And it's kind of, I just feel like it's a fait accompli that they're going to line up with him at least next year.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the least surprising headline.
Right.
Maybe as early as next week, maybe before the end of OTAs. I think Aaron Rodgers is headed to Pittsburgh. My curiosity, I think, is rooted in, does he like this? Was this something that he was either welcoming or afraid of, the George Pickens, DK Metcalf dynamic?
Yeah, I wonder about that.
Because there's a lot of drama, potentially. There was a lot of drama, potentially, but now there's less.
But he is all about drama.
Well,
he's the guy who's the drama. I would wonder if he were to even say anything. Hey, by the way, I would wonder if you wouldn't just want to end the conversation and not take up his drama if he was worried about the drama of others. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
I don't feel like he's got any say so in any of it. We talked to Mike Florio last week, and Florio felt that Rodgers, why sign now, why worry about who you're playing? Why do anything? The schedule's released next Wednesday. At a minimum, wait until the schedule is out before you go to decide whether you're going to be, because they could schedule all these games.
I know, but I don't think that he's going to make a decision based on how many Thursday nights and Sunday nights he plays on.
Well, I just think it's smart not to put yourself on national television until you figure out what you know, how you can play and what you got there.
Yeah, I thought it was a good point. I don't know that. Yeah, but if he's coming back, he doesn't lack confidence. He's not afraid of failing on national TV.
No. But
if he's coming back, he's committed to coming back. He doesn't care how often he's on primetime.
A very disappointing 7-10 last year.
Yeah, I know. And Flusie's there to fix the defense. So
yeah.
Now their offense is more dynamic as well.
Now they have Flusie.
All right, we got to talk about the Cubs.
Yes, we got to get to whatever that was last night. We'll discuss it next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.